10, starting at verse 1. I've had the privilege of reading John 2.5 times over the last few months and haven't quite made it to 3 times through. But I noticed I was falling in love with the gospel in a way I have not ever before. And so if you haven't read it all the way through, let me encourage you. John chapter 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Oh, hi, church. I've just got a bit of a sore throat, runny nose, headache. I've got a negative PCR test, but I think the health orders just say that if you've got flu-like symptoms, to actually stay away from public places, and so that's what I'm doing. Back in the old days, I used to be up here by myself preaching to you at home, and now I'm here by myself preaching you gathered together in community. And today we continue our series in John's Gospel, looking at John chapter 10, where Jesus claims to be the Good Shepherd. Now, I think actually out of all the I am statements, that this is actually the most personal. The other statements, "I'm the vine, I'm the light, I'm the gate, I'm the bread," they're wonderful statements. They've been life-changing statements for me. But here where Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd," we get an insight into how he feels for us, his emotions for us, the type of relationship he wants to have with us. So allow me to pray, and then we'll jump into today's passage. Let me pray. Heavenly Father and gracious God, God, I pray that as we look at this wonderful statement where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," that we'll see Jesus as somebody that we can trust, somebody that we can follow, somebody who can actually change us from the inside out. So be with us today. Speak to our hearts and our minds so that we might be able to live for Jesus in this world. I pray this in Jesus' name. So my first point is, what does it actually mean when Jesus claims to be the Good Shepherd? The background of this statement is found in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains, over every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched for them, and nobody looked for them. So Israel had experienced centuries of bad leaders, of bad shepherds, bad kings, bad religious leaders. And by the time we get to the day of Jesus, of course, you got the Roman Empire ruling them brutally. You got religious leaders tying a yoke upon their necks and shoulders that they're not able to actually bear themselves. And in the midst of this context, Jesus actually stands up before them and says, I am not like that. He says, I am a good shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look for them. As a shepherd looks after the scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I'll bring them into their own land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. Here, Jesus is claiming to be the Good Shepherd of Ezekiel chapter 34. I am the Good Shepherd who will not take from you, I will give to you. I'm a leader that you can trust and follow. I'm a leader who actually wants good for you so that you can flourish. And so what type of good shepherd is Jesus? Well, in verse 14, we see that the good shepherd knows his sheep. I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Now, what is the picture here? Well, I was reading of a pastor, a theologian who used to be a shepherd. I can't pronounce his name, but he's from the Middle East. And he tells of a time when he was on the train and he looks out on the hillside and he sees a shepherd with a flock of sheep, and he notices three sheep that used to belong to him. He had sold them just weeks before. So picture that. He's on the train, he's moving fast, there's a flock of sheep in the distance, and within this flock of sheep, 20 or 30 sheep, he immediately recognises three sheep that used to belong to him. What does that speak to us about? That Middle Eastern shepherds know their sheep. He goes on to say that sheep are different from any other animal. If you let chickens or dogs or cats or horse or camels, if you let them free, they'll do one of two things. They'll either cry born free and run away, or they'll cry E.T. and actually wander home. But he says sheep will do neither. Sheep are actually not very smart. They'll eat a tussock of grass here, a tussock of grass there, a tussock of grass over here, and they'll wander off and they'll be lost, but they actually won't even realise that they are lost. A shepherd knows his sheep, and sheep are slow, defenceless, weak. They're not nimble. They're not overly bright. So what is the point? Jesus is saying that you and I, spiritually, we are like sheep. We are utterly and completely dependent. We are slow and defenseless, not nimble, not overly bright. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd who knows my sheep. He says, I know you. I know everything about you. You know, like sheep, we often lack understanding. Like sheep, we often lack wisdom. Like sheep, we're often getting into trouble. Like sheep, we often make bad choices. And like sheep, we wander. I don't know if this is true of you, but it's true of me. Sometimes I can get lost. Sometimes I can get into a dark or confused place, and I wake up to myself and I think, well, how on earth did I actually get here? But here, Jesus is saying he knows everything about us. He knows our dreams, our desires, our ambitions. He knows our fears and our anxieties and our brokenness. He sees us all the way down to the very core of our being. Jesus knows us completely. This author, theologian, says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. He knows us. He knows us individually. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our insecurities, our mistakes, our fears, our failures, our dreams, our ambitions, our desires. Before a word is on our tongue, he knows that word and he knows the motivation behind that word. So the first image is that Jesus is our shepherd and we are sheep and he knows us. But the second image is quite amazing, is that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when the wolf is coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and scatters the flock. The man runs away because he's the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. You see, we've already noticed that sheep are the most helpless of all animals. But also in Jesus' day, they are the most valued of all animals. Every sheep was valuable. Every sheep was precious. Pound for pound, they were the most valuable animal in Jesus' day. You had their wool, you had their skin, you had their meat, you had their brains. You see, when Jesus spoke these words, a shepherd wouldn't have his wealth in his house or his investment portfolio or in his bank. No, the sheep were the shepherd's wealth. And here, Jesus contrasts himself to a hired hand, somebody who actually doesn't know the sheep, somebody who actually doesn't care for the sheep. He says, these sheep actually belong to me. But then he takes the analogy even further than the cultural norm. You see, although sheep were valuable, although a shepherd would actually protect and step in harm's way to protect a sheep, there wasn't a shepherd in the Roman world who would actually lay down his life for a sheep. Sheep were valuable, but they weren't that valuable. I have a dog. His name is Molo. I love my dog. He and I were on the same emotional and intellectual psychological level. He's my best mate. But if there was a fire in our house, I would lay down my life to rescue Janelle or Abigail or Liam or Jessica. But as much as I love my dog, there's always Gumtree, there's always other dogs. I love my dog, but not enough to lay down my life for it. But here Jesus looks at us and he says, I know everything that there is to know about you. I know the beautiful and the good and the glorious, but also know the bad and the ugly and the brokenness of you. And I see you all the way down to the bottom. And I'm willing to lay down my life for you. Isaiah chapter 53 talks about Jesus. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. Here is the shepherd who becomes a sheep and dies in our place so that we could actually live. Remember on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is a quote from Psalm 22. If you read the rest of the psalm, and I'm sure actually Jesus was thinking about the rest of this psalm, he would have known it. Verse 13, roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. Dogs have surrounded me. Band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. When Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me on the cross? He was thinking about you and I as his sheep, and he's willing to lay down his life for you and for me. And friends, there's never been a stronger statement about the dignity of a human person. There's never been a stronger affirmation of the value of you and me. Christ looks into our hearts. He looks into our past and our present and our future. And he says, I love you and I'm willing to lay down my life for you. Here we're actually getting to the heart of the gospel, aren't we? That we are actually like sheep. We're not overly bright. We make mistakes. We wander. We do the wrong thing. But in God's eyes, we're incredibly valuable, valuable to such a state that Jesus is willing to die for us. And also, verse 3, the good shepherd leads his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. Here, the good shepherd calls his sheep and he leads them. You see, Western farmers, Australian farmers, we lead our sheep from behind. We've got a dog or we're on a motorbike and we drive them from behind. But an Eastern shepherd would lead his sheep from the front. The sheep would know the whistle of the shepherd or the voice of the shepherd. The picture here is that you had this pen at night, which four or five shepherds, four or five families would actually put their flocks in that pen at night. It was just good economics. And you had a watchman who would actually look over that pen of sheep at night with about four or five flocks in it. And then in the morning, the gate would be open and shepherd would actually call out to his sheep, and the sheep would actually separate themselves from the other sheep and actually come and follow the shepherd. So the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And this speaks to us about discipleship, doesn't it? It speaks to us about hearing and understanding and responding and obeying to the shepherd's voice, which is Jesus. It says here that the shepherd actually calls us by name. We know that names in the Bible are incredibly important, that they signify your character, your identity, your purpose, your mission in life. Simon's name was changed to Peter. Saul's name was changed to Paul, because Jesus gave them a new identity and a new purpose and a new meaning and a new orientation and a way to live. And here, Jesus calls us by name. He gives us a new meaning and a new purpose and a new identity. You know, there are many voices in our lives, aren't there? The voices of our family, the voice of our friends, the voice of our boss, the voice of our culture, that internal voice that we have murmuring away all the time. But discipleship is about hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd and following him. So secondly, what does it mean for us to follow the Good Shepherd? Well, if you're a sheep and you've been saved by the Good Shepherd, it means to follow him completely, totally, without any sort of questions or restraints. You know, sometimes it might be that our career is actually falling apart and we come to Jesus and we say, I want your help in my career. But we say to Jesus, you have to stay away from my money. Or it might be our relational life, you know, our relationship, our marriage might not be going so well. And we come to Jesus and say, I want your help with my marriage, but actually stay away from the way that I actually treat people and my character. But that's not the picture here. The picture here is actually coming before the Good Shepherd and submitting every part of our life to him, to follow him. Your thought life, What is it that you're setting your mind on? Your wealth. What is it that you're orientating your wealth towards? Is it Jesus and his kingdom? Your sex life, is that actually honouring to God? Your diary. If I looked at your diary, does that actually reflect Jesus and his kingdom? I can't read Psalm 10 without thinking about Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before my enemies, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you get the image of that psalm? Jesus actually starts off in that psalm as our shepherd, but he actually ends the psalm as our friend. He invites you to come and sit at his table, to eat choice food and fine wine, to be in fellowship, to be in community with us. Here is a shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep so that his sheep could become friends and co-heirs in his kingdom. So friends, as we finish our talk today, there's another image that actually I think I want to introduce you to. It's not just that we are a sheep who follow the good shepherd. As the good shepherd leads us, he actually wants us to become little shepherds of other people. If you keep on reading John's gospel, you get to the end of John's gospel where Jesus reinstates Peter. John chapter 21 verse 15. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things and you know I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." "Simon, do you love me? I'll give you a new name. I'll give you a new identity, a new purpose, a new mission in life." And what is that? To become a little shepherd of others, to feed my sheep. How do you know that you love Jesus? You're shepherding others. When I became a Christian, about 2 months after actually becoming a Christian, I was asked to become a leader in the local youth group. And then after 6 months, I started leading that youth group completely. And in a sense, ever since then, I've been a shepherd of people. One of the central ways that I declare my love and allegiance to Jesus as the good shepherd is that I too enter into this life of seeking to lay down my life for others, to love them, to serve them, to encourage them, and to point them towards Jesus. Friends, can I say that over the past couple of years, I've been really encouraged by your shepherding skills, by your abilities to actually go for walks with one another, to send messages to one another, to be in small groups with one another, to continue to actually encourage one another as we follow the Good Shepherd. And so I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for that. But as actually we move forward in this next season of our life, do you know what I think our church needs more than anything else? We don't need more programs. We don't need more property. We don't actually need more wealth. We need more people who will actually take up this calling upon their lives to become little shepherds, disciples of other people, people who look out for other people, people who care for other people, people who actually point other people towards Jesus. So the message of this passage is that Jesus is the good shepherd. He won't take from you. He won't rip you off. He will give to you, will help you flourish, and so you can trust him. We are like sheep. We're broken and fallen and stupid, but Jesus loves us so much that he's actually willing to lay down his life for us. The good shepherd actually calls us by name, and we are to actually follow him completely, totally, and without any conditions. And then, like Peter, he says to us, "Do you love me?" And if we do love Jesus, we will shepherd and feed his sheep. Allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that these words actually might seep deeply into our hearts, that we actually might know and follow you as the good shepherd of our lives, but also our lives might be transformed so that we could actually become little shepherds towards one another, loving and serving and encouraging and discipling one another and pointing one another towards Jesus. I pray that that's the type of community that you'll create us to be. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.